We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
He's got a chance now to strike out the side.
He's 0-2 on Rosario, the windup and the pitch. Swing and a miss, strike three. And Bert Alzele has arrived. He strikes out the side as we go to the bottom of the sixth inning. Wilson Contreras slaps the youngster on the back as they meet over in front of the Cubs' third base dugout area. That was impressive. Three straight strikeouts.
Middays on the Score.
That was the performance of Cubs rookie Adbert Alzole. And we finally got some confirmation as to how to pronounce the first name of the young Venezuelan right-handed hurler. We heard yesterday when Taylor Davis, the Iowa Cubs catcher, joined us to talk about him. He said Adbert. We had also seen it written as Adbert.
Mm-hmm.
The answer, it's in between. Because I was, Len Casper was doing some detective work for us yesterday at the ballpark, and he was texting with me, and he said that it is, the T is pronounced, but it is not pronounced powerfully. You don't say, it's not Adbert or Adbert, it's Adbert.
You kind of brush it.
Yes, exactly.
It's kind of a little bit, hey, how's your father?
It's almost identical to Luis Robert. It's not a hard sort of plosive T, but it is audible.
You know, as much time as I spent around the White Sox organization when they signed Luis Robert, I still don't think we've got a consensus on how that last name is pronounced.
We don't. We're going to have to figure that out.
No.
Robert.
And maybe Quick.
Robert.
And by the way, maybe Quick.
Yeah.
Because that dude could be fitted for a major league outfit. I don't know, September, probably not, but maybe next season. Anyway, Cubs lineup is out, Cubs and Mets. I want to do this, too. I'm going to give you the lineup in a second, but get to thinking here. We're going to play a game.
Okay.
Each of the Cubs starters, save Kyle Hendricks, and Yu Darvish have made four starts in June. So I wanted to look at their last four starts. I'm going to give you innings pitched, ERA, and batting average against. You know how you do the name this player kind of thing a lot with the slash lines?
Yeah, who am I?
I'm just going to give you, we're going to do the who am I with the Cubs rotation over the last four starts. Wanted to do June, but with Darvish and Hendricks, I got to pick up the last start because Hendricks won't make a fourth start in June, and Darvish will do that today. So we're going to compare and contrast a little bit there, but we also have a lineup out for Cubs-Mets Game 2. It's, of course, this afternoon on The Score. Zach Zane will have the pregame show. Yu Darvish gets the start, and I think maybe, just maybe, you might find something out about the way Yu Darvish has shaped his last couple of starts here. Kyle Schwarber leads off. Chris Bryant is in right and hits second. Anthony Rizzo is at first. Javier Baez batting four at short. Wilson Contreras is catching, batting five. David Bodie plays third. Albert Almora Jr. is in center field. Yu Darvish bats eight. Pitcher batting eight, and then Addison Russell is at second base, batting nine. Speaking of second base, nice to see Daniel Descalso actually get a hit, regardless of how long that at-bat took and how many pitches
with the runner in scoring position.
How about that?
The Cubs did some two un-Cubs-like aspects to yesterday's game. They hit with runners in scoring position, and they promoted their own pitching prospect.
Unbelievable.
Amazing.
To me.
Who are you? I hardly know you anymore.
It's a good text, too, from the 773. You got to kind of read it out. It's Zole, 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 Zole.
Yeah.
Nothing?
No. Nope.
You got no points for that.
Boo.
Wow. Nope. Man, get you to cry with a Pixar reference, but creativity
That's easy.
Gets stunted.
That's easy to get me to cry by talking about Pixar.
Yeah, both are.
Bastards. Evil bastards that they are.
I thought Alzolay was very good. I liked the fastball. I always wonder, and it'll be really interesting to see his next outing, whenever that comes around for them. But you ever notice that it can happen very frequently for prospects when they just get called up? The guys with a good live fastball, sometimes they'll throw it through the movement that they've got. Sometimes they're a little geeked up for their first major league start.
He was.
He really was
geeked
up.
You could see it when in his bullpen.
Yeah, he was fired up for that. And you should no points against him. I mean, dude, get out there and throw your heart out. Like, let it eat. But I wonder if that fastball of his is a little less straight than it was last night. Because I thought maybe he might be not gripping it too tight, literally, but, you know, just really good. I want to throw the fastball. I'd like to see it have a little bit more dance. Really liked the slider. Liked a couple of changeups that got worked in there, too. Some impressive stuff from Adbert Alzolay. I really liked what you saw.
It was the kind of thing where, you know, first of all, taking the joy in his response to it. That's really fun about how genuinely happy he was.
Super and that
was
cool.
And it was all part of the evening, too, because we had young kids in basketball all crying and hugging and everything.
And excited for teammates when they got drafted.
Yeah, excited for teammates. And then here's, you go over there. It was all happy, happy, joy, joy on a sports night when you were flipping between those things. And you saw Edbert ready to come in and just watching the response to him and how his teammates treated him. Everything was good.
So let's get into the rotation here the last few times through, because I think one of these performances, these kind of rolling averages, as it were, might surprise some Cubs fans. Play along if you can. Just shout it out in your car. Don't text and drive, though. Over my last four starts, thrown 29 innings with a .31 ERA.
Cole Hamels.
Hitters are hitting .173 against me. Yeah, that's Cole Hamels. That's the standout.
Cole Hamels.
That is,
it gets harder.
Well, we'll see. Over my last four, I've thrown 21 innings. I've got a .429 ERA, and hitters are hitting .259 against me.
Lester.
It is not John Lester. File that away.
Lester's worse than that, then.
Over my last four, I've thrown 25 and two-thirds with a .532 ERA, and hitters are hitting .278 against me.
Quintana?
That is John Lester.
Oh, that's Lester. Okay.
The last one was Quintana.
Okay.
Over my last four, I've thrown 26 and a third with a .342 ERA, fine, and a .242 average against.
Hendricks?
That is Kyle Hendricks. And again, I had to take one extra start. So you've gotten four. Here's Yu Darvish's last four starts. 24 and a third, a .296 ERA, and a .167 batting average against.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not telling you that these stats that I pulled are, you know, indicators of future performance. I know what they are. You know what they are. ERAs and short sample sizes and a handful of starts, everything like that. But as we were talking with Joe Sheehan on Monday, we had to move him over because of scheduling this week. I just got to thinking a little bit. He started looking at a few things that had kind of strung themselves together. We talked with Len the other day and just kind of looking at some things that got together for Yu Darvish over the last few. I wonder if a little bit of a consistency has stuck to him. I wonder if a little bit of confidence has stuck with him. I wonder if he's maybe even just a little bit healthier than he was before. The more we read in this The MVP Machine, the book by Ben Lindbergh and Travis Sawchuk, the more I'm thinking about how players think about themselves and just starting to look, you know, with a little bit of, not askance, but interested at the last handful from Yu Darvish.
You know, there's a cool detail near the end of that book when they get away from some of the measurement stuff. There is a lot about sports psychology in this book also, a lot about the developmental side, the mental side of development and what that means to a player being able to maximize his physical skill. And how baseball, it's a really cool chapter in the book, and it sort of feeds into what I'm talking about here, but the way we watch these teammates treat each other, and we see that, and the way that Joe Maddon and what they did under Ken Revisa and now with Bob Tewksbury, how baseball is changing, where it said it used to be you had to be a cowboy. You had to be a big swaggering. And they actually...
Comes John Wayne.
Yeah.
Not going to cry about my paw.
They begin every chapter with a quote, and the quote that they use is actually Jimmy Dugan's quote, Tom Hanks' character from A League of Their Own, that ends with "there's no crying in baseball," because you forget what they say ahead of that. It's kind of sad about, he talks about what his manager called him. And remember that?
I kind of forgot about that.
When you read it, all we think about is the tangent. There's no crying in me. We think,
yeah, of course.
But when he is telling his player about how rough he had it and about how he was made fun of and how it made him feel, and like basically saying that he would have cried.
Huh.
But there is no crying in baseball. There is a note about the Cubs that's fascinating, specifically about the Cubs, and specifically the 2018 Cubs.
Okay.
And I did not know this. The position players of last year's Cubs would meet and talk specifically and talking through sharing with each other times that they felt unhappy or frightened or uncomfortable on the field.
No kidding.
And they would go around and they would talk through these things. And do you remember when Joe Maddon told us about, how did he phrase it? He said, our players have a lot of mature conversations.
Yeah, vividly, yeah. He mentioned, I think it was like his fourth or fifth visit with us in the season. Once the season had started, he had mentioned that guys were having conversations in the clubhouse, the kinds of conversations he's never heard before in a baseball clubhouse. The kinds of conversations, the grown-up type stuff that he'd not heard before.
They did this. The Cubs primary position players, they would talk to each other about working through times when they felt insecure or unhappy, and they would unburden themselves, and it was like a support group.
I mean, I get it. I'm impressed by it. I'm the kind of guy though who if I live a little too loudly, like if I put too much out there for you, like put it all on my sleeve, I struggle. You know, knowing once I know that things are out there, I begin to struggle with dealing with them myself.
Hmm.
I'm a little bit more like Ian Happ than I am, I don't know.
You're not that tightly wound.
No, probably not, but closer, I think. You know, I struggle with, like, you know, putting the emotional things that I'm dealing with, like having the wallet open for somebody. That's not an easy thing for me to do. And as it opens,
for anybody to do, really.
No,
it's a practiced skill.
But it is so much easier for others. And you're right, like living, like being that kind of vulnerable is a practiced skill, but you also have to be willing to engage in it. And you've got to, I would imagine that you've got to be around people that you trust with that stuff. I've said it a number of times, and whether it matters in terms of performance or not, you can't say, but I guess you'd rather be on the positive side than the negative side of this. That Cubs clubhouse has a group of guys stitched together for as long and as tightly as I've seen. You know what I mean? They came up together, they were drafted together, they won together, they failed together, all that stuff. And really, there haven't been that many changes to a core, you know, 8, 9, 10 players in there. And the guys they have slid into that core have been a guy like Jason Hayward, who led through an incredibly trying time in the World Series, despite the fact that he was playing as bad a baseball as he's ever played. That's impressive to me.
The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves would like to thank their loyal fans for making this 25th anniversary so special. Thank you, and see you in October. I would like to thank Lawrence Holmes for bringing donuts. Horrible bastard.
What a jerk
boy,
that is.
He knew what to dangle in front of me, too, with this donut, right? He just sort of had it in the box and pointed to it, and that's a that is a rhubarb fritter.
Delicious. Absolutely
delicious. Two of my absolute favorite things in the world put together. The concept of the apple fritter, but replacing the apple chunks with those perfectly little acidic chunks of rhubarb.
Well, Lawrence is a donut connoisseur, I think. I believe that's what he would probably term himself or close to it. I was of the opinion, I mean, if you listen to the show, we're a big fritter show. Mm-hmm. We are pro-fritter on the Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Yeah, we made the discovery of the high quality of the 7-Eleven apple fritter because, you know, who knew?
I think even high quality is selling that thing short.
It's a great fritter.
Terrific fritter. Yep. And I would have been of the opinion prior that for fritters, the only fruit is apple. Not so. We've had a blueberry fritter over the last couple of weeks, and this rhubarb thing is just a homer.
Thing. It's a thing.
It's terrific.
It's a craveable, new, and different thing, but this is one where they absolutely got everything right, and I'm breaking every rule
all
that I have. It's a weigh myself day. It's an exercise day. It's all that, I can't believe I'm doing it, but it's worth it. I don't feel bad about it.
Can I tell you a struggle that I've been having the last couple of weeks? With the wrist, I can't, you know, when I do go to the gym, I can't.
No, okay.
That's my left, Dan. Okay. Everything's fine. I have to bike now to exercise. The only real choice, because running, the bouncing jars, it hurts. It still hurts.
Running,
you know, with
sucks.
All the impact.
Running hurts also, even when you're healthy.
Also, running sucks.
Yeah.
I have been on a stationary bike 4 days of the last, I don't know why anyone does that. I don't know how anyone. Same. And now I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it.
No,
what the
Rick,
hell?
Rick, he meant in lieu of other cardiovascular exercise.
I don't know. This is torture. It's torture. Riding a bike is torture. I now have a different level of respect for anybody who gets on the sideline and has to ride a bike through like rehabbing to get back into a game or something. Riding a bike is absolute torture.
Sitting on
you're a crazy person.
A non-recumbent bike, like sitting on one of those.
Recumbent bikes suck.
No, recumbent bikes great.
No, they're terrible.
Oh, it's awesome because it doesn't hurt your back and you can do crossword puzzles and read books and play on your phone.
I'm going to sweat all. I can't read the book while I'm on the bike because I sweat all over the damn
thing. Yeah, well, you sweat ridiculously, so I don't. It's not quite the same. I can't. It's hard for me to do a crossword puzzle now without being on the bike because I've paired them together now, and I think you, better with when my heart rate.
But you're like a gorilla crossword puzzler. Is there a place you couldn't complete a crossword? You've been in the sauna doing crossword puzzles.
Yes, I have.
You're an insane.
I'm probably
person.
The guy at the gym. Oh, that's sauna crossword puzzle guy. That weirdo is in there. Again.
Strange,
that weird
person.
Old guy is in there. No, but I actually sitting on a bike. Forget it. Like I did. My daughter wanted me to do SoulCycle, and I did SoulCycle.
Oh, and God.
It was a really dancey one, and I had to throw my shirt out. I'd never sweat like that in my life. And you know, my wife will sometimes do it twice in a day.
It's torture.
No, she loves it. She's their SoulCycle teacher left. They had a whole party. It's a whole deal. Anyway, we are going to continue talking about the Bulls draft pick or picks. Actually, they ended up with two guys, and the fact that someone's already complaining about the second round pick means the score is absolutely doing its job.
That's great.
But Coby White is your newest Bull, and yesterday we had Sam Vecenie on from his podcast. He always was previewed the draft. He gave us all sorts of names, gave us a cloud of names, and we talked about Coby White yesterday, and we mentioned yesterday we wanted to have him back so we can now retroactively look at what actually happened, and his thoughts could be of even more value to us.
Excellent. Love talking with Sam about the NBA draft. We'll do exactly that when we come back. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
With the 7th pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the Chicago Bulls select Coby White from the University of North Carolina.
Coby!
Like it. This segment brought to you by The Art of Pizza. Like that, too. The Art of Pizza is celebrating 30 years in Lakeview. The Art of Pizza, located at 3033 North Ashland. Stop in for up to 18 varieties of hot, fresh, stuffed pan and thin crust slices. Delivery begins 11 a.m. every day. Call 773-327-5600 or visit artofpizzachicago.com. Sam Vecenie is on Twitter at Sam_Vecenie. He of the Game Theory podcast, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. We spoke to you yesterday. I'm glad we talked about Coby White because, indeed, this open court live wire athlete is a member of the Chicago Bulls, and it sounds like they knew what they were getting and why they were getting it.
You know what the funny thing is? So you played that clip of Adam Silver saying Coby White. That's actually the first time I've heard a clip of Adam Silver like actually announcing a pick in the 2019 draft. Because like yesterday, like what my work process is, like I just look on Twitter and then start writing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny that that's the first one I heard, just like randomly. But Coby White's really good. I think it's an interesting fit from a roster perspective. I mean, schematically, I have some questions. Just like, you know, he's a guy that, like you said, he's a live wire athlete. He really wants to get up and down the floor. He wants to run like crazy. He's just constantly pushing the pace and pushing the tempo. That's what he wants. But, you know, the Bulls last year under Jim Boylan, I mean, let's not act like this was a, you know, high wire show necessarily. So I think that it'll be very interesting to see how that kind of meshes, right?
Yeah, so because of his lack of half-court experience, really, when you look at his freshman year, does that mean that when Boylan wants to slow it down, because let's be honest, he will at some point, does that mean that Zach LaVine becomes this de facto, you know, point guard when they get down into sets?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to sit here and, like, say that I know what the Bulls are going to do. I don't know. I mean, just, like, from the perspective of, you know, knowing Kobe's game, I think that that's a real distinct possibility that they do that. They get Zach the ball. I also still think they're probably going to chase a veteran free agent at point guard, right? Like, going out and getting a Patrick Beverley, I think, makes a lot of sense for this roster.
Even at that big ticket, it seems like he's going to be a lot more expensive than maybe we first thought.
Yeah, I do. And yeah, I get that. I get the concern. But this is a team that, you know, Kobe's not a great defender at this stage, still very skinny, obviously very young, still at 19. Zach LaVine, you know, for all of the great things that Zach LaVine did last year, defense is still not one of them, right? So going out and getting a guy that can be like a really high-level defender, especially over the course of the next few years while you have Kobe on a rookie-scale deal, I think that that would really help the development of this Bulls team. And, you know, maybe Kobe ends up being a guy that, you know, looks better as a sixth man this year behind like a veteran point guard. Maybe he starts at point guard. The Bulls are inscrutable in many ways, so we'll find out very soon. But I do think there's a chance that, you know, when we get down to half court, when we get to initiating sets, that we see Zach doing a lot more of it and Kobe spacing off the ball, because Kobe is a very, very good shooter.
What draft day move incensed you most when you really got under your skin? I liked DeAndre Hunter going to the Hawks. Some were a little less pleased with it. Some thought that Rui Hachimura going to Washington after no one from Washington had spoken to him at all whatsoever was a thing. Anything make you mad?
Wait, I'm sorry, I haven't caught up. No one from Washington spoke to Rui?
Apparently
not.
No, seriously, like, you guys have me on here and expect that, like, I know all of this stuff. It's just, like, I'm writing constantly, like, over the course of the night. No one talked to Rui from Washington? That's unbelievable.
That's the word.
Oh, my. I'd heard, like, a rumor that they were kind of interested pre-draft, and I was like, yeah, I don't think so. No way. The thing that frustrated me most is I don't know what the heck Phoenix is doing. So Phoenix, you know, I know that they want to get salary cap space because I think they want to try and offer D'Angelo Russell a max deal. But the way that they went about it and the way that they then utilized their picks was very strange. So they essentially trade number 32 and the ability to move down from 6 to 11 to bring in Dario Saric for TJ Warren, right? So I don't really understand what the thought process is there. And then at number 11, they select Cam Johnson, who I thought was like a borderline first round pick. That was probably my least favorite pick of the draft because it's just very uninspiring and unimaginative. I mean, I think Cam will play in the NBA just because he is an elite level shooter, but That whole series of moves didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. You can even just look at it separately on the surface of they traded number 11, the Timberwolves traded number 11 and Dario Saric for number 6 and get Jarrett Culver. I would much rather have Jarrett Culver than 1 year of Dario Saric and number 11 with Cam Johnson, right? Like it just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
I asked this earlier when we had Vincent Goodwill on. I asked the same of you to get your perspective. On the whole, were there any moves, anything any team did positioning itself or any clues that would indicate something that could affect the big-time free agents this offseason?
I thought it was interesting that Philadelphia, and like this isn't a big move in the grand scheme of things, like they decided to deal number 42 along with Jonathan Simmons, who has $1 million guaranteed left on his deal. So they essentially sold number 42 to get off of $1 million in cap space, basically. I thought that was very strange, and I wonder if they're planning on doing something where they try and really chase guys in free agency. Like, I think that earlier today that was reported, or maybe yesterday, it's all blurring together, that they might try and get a meeting with Kawhi Leonard. So I think that them trying to clear cap space does kind of potentially note that they're going to be a player in free agency, even beyond Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris.
Sam, is there a steal in the first round of this draft? I know it's not, you know, chalked with talent or anything like that, but some think Nasir Little at 25 is great value. I'm intrigued by Jordan Poole ending up with Golden State, regardless of what you think of his prospects. I don't know, I kind of like the kid. Any steals?
Yeah, Jordan Poole's like a fun human being. I totally get that. I like Nasir Little to Portland because I think it's a really great fit because he won't have pressure on him to perform immediately. They basically like sit their rookies out for a year. And then like, you know, say, hey, come back to me in year two, like they did with Anthony Simons this year. I liked Brandon Clark to Memphis a lot. I thought Brandon Clark is an exceptional defender, and it's a really, really great fit with Jaren Jackson because Jackson can knock down shots from the perimeter. They're both just elite-level defenders for their ages. I'm trying to think. I like Kevin Porter a lot. I know that he fell. He fell in large part because teams were a little bit concerned with his work ethic, with his coachability, you know, off-the-floor stuff. But I think that he's a really good kid. Like, I've gotten a chance to meet him and talk to him about being out here in L.A., and, you know, I've gotten a chance to do the background intel myself. And I think that teams kind of overblew this a little bit. And I think Kevin's going to be a really, really good player for the Cavaliers, and I thought it made sense for them to go back in and essentially buy Kevin Porter because they spent $5 million in 4 second-round picks.
Did Bol Bol slide because of injury concerns? Did he slide because of questions about how much he likes basketball or because of attitudinal stuff that's been hinted at by scouts?
All of the above and the fact that he's awful on defense. You say all of these things like, you know, why did he fall, or like, is it a surprise that he fell? I mean, I don't think that we should be surprised that a guy with this many questions fell, right? Like, I think everyone acted like, oh my God, this is a no-brainer, Bol Bol. And, you know, at the end of the day, Bol Bol's a guy I had at 37 on my final big board because he has all of these questions in regard to the navicular bone injury in his foot. Does he love basketball? Is he a guy that is going to be coachable? And can you actually teach him a defensive scheme? Whenever he gets on the floor, is he going to execute that defensive scheme? There's a lot of lazy tape. I would implore anyone who thinks Bol Bol is some like ridiculous steal in the second round and should have gone top 20. Go watch the Iowa tape where, you know, Jordan Bohannon was turning the corner on him in pick and roll coverage. And, you know, Luka Garza and their backup Ryan Krieger were just pinning Bol Bol back against the basket, you know, where he can't do anything to protect the rim. So, like, I get it. I get that, you know, Bol Bol can really shoot it. And I think that that's why he has potential to stick in the NBA. I get that, you know, he has the ball handling abilities and, you know, is an exciting name because his father played in the NBA and is beloved. I just don't personally really see it. And if I was a team, this is right around the range that I would have taken him.
A lot of Bulls fans are upset that Bol Bol's not a Bull. They took Daniel Gafford instead out of Arkansas with the 38th pick. What did you think of Gafford and his fit with the Bulls?
So, yeah, I mean, Daniel Gafford, guy that I had higher on my board than Bol Bol. Rim runner, a guy that is going to, you know, be a pick and roll screen setter and then dive to the basket, catch alley-oops, run in transition, is a partner, a pick and roll partner potentially to grow with Coby White. I think it makes a lot of sense. His questions are on the perimeter defensively. He is just kind of high-hipped and like kind of moves awkwardly on the perimeter. His lateral agility isn't fantastic, so it makes people around the league kind of wonder if he's going to be able to really stick on the perimeter and be able to handle these quick guards in the NBA. That's the reason he ended up falling to the second round. But this is a guy that, you know, coming into the year, people thought might be a lottery pick. So, yeah, I think that that's a totally reasonable selection at 38. And I think that, you know, as much as, you know, I'm a fan of making fun of what John Paxson and Gar Forman do, I think they did really well to get two guys in Coby White and Daniel Gafford that have a real chance to be players for the Bulls going forward.
I agree. I think they had a good day. I think just put very, very simply, nothing got screwed up. Everything seems reasonable. A case could be made for it. And I think the Bulls should probably, and Bulls fans should probably come away, if nothing else, certainly satisfied by what happened last night.
It was a totally competent evening for Chicago. And honestly, like on a draft night like this, that's a win. That is a win, full stop. You get your point guard of the future. You get a center that might be pretty interesting to pair with that point guard as a pick-and-roll option. This is a win, guys.
Sam Vecenie, thanks as always,
thanks,
man.
Sam.
Of course, guys.
That's Sam Vecenie, he of the Game Theory Podcast, and the bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz of the 17th-ranked Cats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Look, we had you covered today, man. You get Vincent Goodwill, you get the sound that you need, you get Coby White's high school coach, you get the stylings of a Sam Vecenie. That's how you wrap it up. And thrown in plenty of Cubs stuff for you, too.
Yeah, speaking of, if you're looking for something to do tonight after the Cubs game, which is, of course, on the score, you can hang out with me and Cubs outfielder Albert Almora Jr. We're going to be at the Xfinity store. That's 324 East Rand Road in Arlington Heights. We'll be at that one 6 until 7 tonight. You can come in, you get to meet Albert Almora, you can compete for prizes against me, which, let's be honest, if you're looking for prizes, yeah. I don't have a left hand.
Challenge you to a chugging contest.
What I'm saying is you go out there and you compete for prizes, you're probably going to win prizes. We're there from 6 until 7. You can also enter for a chance to win Cubs tickets. It's brought to you by Xfinity, the official Wi-Fi provider of Wrigley Field.
We've got a special guest next, don't we?
We do. We're also doing some, as a station, we're doing something different during the Cubs game today. On the stream,
we're beta testing something, soft launch beta test that you're going to be a part of. You've got another entertainment opportunity coming your way.
Yeah, it's a creative one. It is off the wall. It is Shane Reardon's brainchild, which means it could be completely crazy. We'll talk to Shane about what we're doing on the stream during the Cubs game this afternoon. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
I'm mad. I'm angry. I can prove it. I have an erection. I'm mad at all of you.
There's something to be said for experimentation in this industry. So we're doing something different today during the Cubs game. Because as you know, because of MLB rules, when a radio station carries a game, the radio station is not then allowed to also carry the game on the web feed, on the stream.
Right.
Via the radio.com app, however you get to the stream. So we run like canned network stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like national sports talk.
This is Shane Reardon, by the way.
Hi, Shane.
What's your official title?
I'm a guy here.
Smeet provider. That's what he is. Smeet provider.
What's your official title?
I work in operations. So I work.
What is your job title?
Operations.
Operations?
Yeah.
That's not a job title. That's a department.
Do you work here?
I do work here. I'm here pretty often. Usually from like
I see you every day
until 6:37.
What's your damn job title?
I work in operations.
I know where you work.
That's my title.
You don't have a job title?
That's my job title. Operations.
God, you're so annoying.
Don't you have
Why can't
cleaner.
You just say what,
you? What do you want from
are you,
me?
Are you assistant director of something? Are
no,
you? Are you?
That is
are you?
Way too, my job
manager.
Title.
What is your job title? This isn't hard.
I work in operations. It's.
I know where you work.
It's mid-level management.
That's stop characterizing.
That's all
hey,
I can
you
give
fired
you.
Up.
That's all I can give you is that I work in operations. Stop yelling at me.
It's just you're just maddening. I asked a simple question.
Oh, this went well.
I'm answering your question. This is the exact answer to the question.
It says,
I work in operations.
On his email signature, it just says Shane Reardon, Operations 670
Fine.
The score.
Whatever. We're doing something cool and interesting and new. So during the Cub game today, if somebody wants alternative programming or wants to be hang around with their score friends and hear score stuff, if they go on the stream, what's going on?
So we thought guys want to hear, not guys only, but people want to hear you guys. They want to be behind the scenes. They want to be let in. So instead of the national sports talk that you would get during a Cub game, we put you two together with an expanded score leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
We put Kevin Zipak and Dustin Rhodes together, kind of doing like their own version of 5 at 5.
Right.
We put Rick and Jay and myself together, a Shane's Meat meets the I'm Fat podcast.
Shane's
Meat. We talked about weekend grilling. We talked about like the Mount Rushmore of tailgate foods. Even though I hate the Mount Rushmore thing, we still did that.
We did it. Anyway.
You don't hate it enough to not do it.
The star of this by far is the first segment you're going to hear, and that's Les Grobstein and Mark Grody together for a good 25 minutes talking about Jay Cutler, talking about Les cornering people in the bathroom
Dude,
at the Bears
yes.
100 event. It was absolute gold. Les talking about his relationship with Kathy. It is absolute
oh,
gold.
So, that's fantastic.
Right. We're going to run that starting at 1:20 from during the Cub game, and then it'll loop and loop and loop until Cubs post is over. It was fun. It's a good alternative to the national stuff that you usually hear. It's
score
local.
Off the air.
Well, yeah, it's unhinged. They're swearing.
There it is. They're swearing. Oh.
Mitch, well, someone think of the children.
I had to lock Mitch in a closet to even get this on the air, even though it's called off the air. Mitch is still in the closet.
Is that
right
a
now.
Segment, too?
Well,
Mitch from the closet?
Locking Mitch in a closet?
It could be. If this goes well, we could do an Ask the Mitch or Ask a Mitch. It was a lot of fun to do, and I really thank you guys for joining me in it for a little bit.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
I thought it was really fun and look forward to doing more of it. I really do. Because I think it gives us a chance to just, you know, not really
kind of let it
care
flow.
About anything and just get a roll with it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So we urge people, if you want to do a little something different, just at least sample it without question.
You're flipping back and forth between the Cubs game and this.
Yeah, go to the radio.com app or 670thescore.com and stream Score off the air during the Cubs game.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks, Shane.
Thank you, guys.
Whatever it is that you do.
Operations.
I know. We thank our guests today, Rob Salter, Vincent Goodwill, and Sam Vecini, the producers, Zawoski, Camp, and Diaz, Brian Gertz, the video feed, Kevbo had the updates. Monday, we're going to be busy digesting a weekend of Chicago sports, but Lawrence Holmes, the man who supplied the donuts, will join us next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.